when Paul Millsap had his press, his introductory press conference when he first got signed in Denver, when he asked what he was most excited about, he said easy layups because of Nikola Jokic. He doesn't just pass people the ball and put them in good spots. He passes people into buckets.
Welcome to WST, your West Coast source for sports, and today for Denver Nuggets basketball. I'm your host, Kyle, and we're joined by TJ McBride. TJ is the Denver Nuggets beat writer for Mile High Sports. Welcome to the show, TJ.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on, man. How's your day going so far?
So far, so good. Looking over your bio, it says you're originally from Cali.
Yes, sir. Grew up in Los Angeles a little bit, got a little bit of South Orange County, hopped around quite a bit, and then made my way to Denver, which is where I ended up with the Nuggets by accident, basically.
We have some WST gear. It's got the Cali logo on it, so we might have to send you out a t-shirt and a hoodie.
Oh, I wouldn't be upset about that at all. That'd be great to have, actually. I would love to support.
It's yellow and blue. You could say it's Warriors colors, but after this hot Nuggets start, maybe we're a Nuggets pod. Maybe it's Nuggets colors.
Yeah, I wouldn't be upset about that. It's crazy to see how quickly they got off of the start and how unique they've done this. No one really expected them to come out and win in the ways that they have won. You know, any team can get hot and go 8-1 or 7-1. But to do it defensively when this team has been so consistently not understood as a defensive team whatsoever, it's been really unique and it's been fun to see happen so far.
If you look back to last year, the season ended with a heartbreaking loss to the Timberwolves on the last day of the season, which cost the Nuggets a playoff berth. But this year there's been no hangover. You know, they've started out fast. You read on blogs or you listen to the analysts, some of them are saying the Nuggets belong in the conversation with the NBA elite.
Yeah, it's getting to that point that just because of the way that they're finally winning. Like I was saying before, I mean, let me go back to the first point you said, because I thought it was interesting, the way that they came out of the gate hot and like they just picked up immediately. They all kind of have this collective motivation from last year that we really hadn't seen from this young Nuggets team yet. This is a team who really, I mean, it's a bunch of 21, 22, 23, and 24-year-olds, the second youngest team in basketball. So for them to get that eternal fire that you need in the NBA, it takes time. And that loss to Minnesota last year, it expedited the process. And this team is as motivated as I have seen them, which is really what you're seeing manifest in this defensive production that they suddenly have been having out of nowhere. So it is really interesting to see how they kick this season off so fast and how they've been able to play in such a really gutsy way, grinding out wins, as Paul Millsap likes to say.
Yeah, and defense is really a Mike Malone staple, and it seems like the team is taking on Mike Malone's personality. What have you noticed the biggest difference in defense from last year to this year?
Well, there is a little bit of change schematically, which I think is important in the conversation, because they were dropping Nikola Jokic in pick-and-roll coverages last year, which usually can help you concede mid-range shots, which is usually the goal as a defense. But he's just so slow-footed. He doesn't have the explosive athleticism of other players in the league that he was really a sitting duck for these Western Conference guards who were just coming at him a million miles an hour. Now they're having them play way up the floor at the point of attack. So now Nikola Jokic is able to work with Jamal Murray or with Gary Harris to contain the guard and kind of just let the big slip and have the weak side just recover, or hopefully Nikola Jokic be able to recover if he times it correctly. And to be able to pull off that kind of a scheme, though, you need an intense amount of effort. Michael Malone has been saying that the past few years they've been a single-effort team, and this year they're a multiple-effort team, and that's because they're closing out and scrambling as a defensive unit in a way that we have not seen from them in really probably a decade in terms of like really high-end defensive production. And they're helping each other out, they're communicating, they're playing on a string, and they're playing to the scheme. And it seems like all the players have enjoyed playing this scheme as opposed to how it used to be.
Coming into training camp, defense was their priority and they wanted to go through the rotations, like you said. And it really comes down to commitment. You got to want it, you got to sustain it. And, you know, hopefully they can keep it up because they're playing great right now.
And so far they've been able to, and I will see if it's able to continue, but usually effort is connected to the mind state of the team, and all of these guys have been built up in a workman's kind of culture in Denver. So they're really trying to hammer that home, and it doesn't seem like something that just started the season. It's a nice little burst. It does seem like it's sustainable because these guys are so hyper-motivated right now, and it's led by Nikola Jokic, which is insane to say, because no one expects him to be even an average defender just because of the athletic limitations upon him, but he has played with a ridiculous vigor. The dude is out there defending guards in space, moving his feet, staying in his stance, and these are things that we did not see from him at all last year. Nikola Jokic has bought in, and because your franchise cornerstone buys in, the rest of the team has now followed suit.
He's playing at a high level. You know, if you look at his stats, I think he's somewhere around just under 20 points per game, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and he even gets, you know, 1.5 steals. Outside of defense, where has he made the biggest strides this season?
Probably just as a leader, probably as being willing to be the guy when they need him to be the guy. And I think that's something that's hard to do because he was a second-round pick who came over from Sombor, Serbia, which is a very small city, and he really had to learn to suddenly lead an NBA team within 3 years. Like, that's a very tall task for anybody, but you've seen the mental maturation of Nikola Jokic into that guy. Like, when they need him to go out there and just decimate somebody, or they need a strong 6-minute stretch, he can be the guy that they can rely on. In the Chicago Bulls game in Chicago, things were not going well, and he came in at the 6-minute mark and basically just went on a war path and tore through everybody. Hit a couple threes in overtime. I think he had 8 of their overtime 11 points in that game. And like, he has this switch to where he's like, you know what? I need to lead this team. I need to do what I need to do. And that also manifested the other night when they played the Jazz, because for about 4.5 minutes in the fourth quarter, he threw out 5 assists, I believe, 4 or 5 assists. And the Nuggets went on a 15-5 run in 5 minutes when he was on the floor at that moment before putting them away. He can just become the guy that they need to go to gut out wins when they need it. And they haven't had a player like that since Carmelo Anthony.
I love watching him play. I mean, he impacts the game in so many different ways, and it seems like he's developing a little bit more swagger, like he knows he belongs. I think it was last week where he said that Shaq couldn't guard him. I just thought that was awesome.
And it's funny, too, because, like, I honestly believe there's a very, very small language barrier thing to where not everybody realizes that he is just always joking about things. Like, I don't think he actually believes that Shaq couldn't stop him, but at the same time, he loves just throwing that wrench into the equation because he loves just kind of being that goofy, jovial guy. There's a reason they call him the Joker. It's been around for such a long time because he's just so ridiculously funny, and everything he does is sarcastic, but when he steps on the floor, he becomes just an animal, and, like, his brothers are like MMA fighters that stay with him and stuff. So there is a lot of competitiveness in that family. But when it's outside of the court, dude is as funny as it gets.
Yeah, he's been a treat to watch. And I saw a little bit of the game when they were down here in LA. And, you know, I don't get to see the Nuggets that much, just occasionally. But what I noticed this year was the ball movement. You know, they'll have either, you know, Jokic or Millsap at the top. There's a lot of back cuts. And there's either three-pointers or people cutting to the basket and getting easy layups. Where does Jokic fit, or where is he most effective in Mike Malone's offense, in your opinion?
I mean, at this point, I'm starting to think that it's Nikola Jokic's offense that Michael Malone has helped fit with him, because whenever you step Nikola Jokic onto a basketball court, you can pretty much create yourself a top 10 offense regardless of the players around him, as long as you got shooting. And it's because he is, like, he doesn't just pass people the ball and put them in good spots. He passes people into buckets. Like, he will put you in a spot that you didn't expect to be by where he put the pass, that suddenly makes it more advantageous for the offense. He is like an offensive savant. Like, it just comes to him. It's like, it's the most effortless thing I've ever seen. And it's, when I'm there watching the game, like, I'll be on press row with people and we'll be looking around at each other, like, just dumbfounded how this guy is just out here making offense look so ridiculously easy against NBA athletes. Like, it just comes to him naturally. So at this point, if you just give him the ball and say go and put four spaces around him and players who know how to play off ball, players who know how to swing the ball, and then, like, things like that, you create such a dynamic offense because he is able to facilitate and put people in such great spots to make great reads. And the Nuggets have done a great job of filling that out around him. He leads the NBA in total passes made right now. As a center, this is what he's doing. And it's incredible to see the Nuggets to completely empower him to be that kind of a player.
He's always under control. He's never sped up. And I think the team is cutting and moving because they know he's going to find them for easy layups or an open shot. And the offense is running through him, and it looks great right now.
Yeah, it's almost like a pickup basketball. I don't know if you play, but like when all of a sudden there's that one dude who will find you every time you cut or every time you relocate for a three-pointer and he finds you, you're just immediately more willing. And then the rest of the players start seeing you getting all those easy buckets and all those easy three-pointers and things like that, and all of a sudden they start following suit. You create the trend, which is why Nikola Jokic is literally a walking top 10 offense at this point, because it makes it so easy for other players. When Paul Millsap had his introductory press conference when he first got signed in Denver, when he asked what he was most excited about, he said easy layups because of Nikola Jokic. Like, it has become a very, like, almost a cultish kind of thing to follow, because these guys are just like, wow, I can just literally revolve around Nikola and I'm going to get 18 points a game if I wanted to and I hit efficient shots.
Definitely. And yeah, I used to play it. It's almost the reverse of playing pickup with that guy who doesn't pass. And you're just unmotivated. You sit in the corner. But then as soon as you play with people who are spreading the ball and are unselfish, you get energy and excitement and you're willing to move. And then the offense and everyone else benefits.
Yep. And that's what he does. He literally walks on the court and he makes everyone better around him, which makes everybody more motivated, which is literally where this entirely new scheme defensively has come from. Like, this team has entirely built around Nikola Jokic offensively and defensively, and they're bought into it too. And it's going to be a really fun thing to watch develop over the next 5 years.
Now, if we move into the backcourt, we've got Jamal Murray and Gary Harris. You know, it's a young backcourt. It's a dynamic backcourt. In your opinion, where does this backcourt stack up with some of the others in the NBA?
I mean, I think they're probably in the top five, top six realm, but I don't think that's crazy to say at this point. And I mean, Gary Harris has gotten better in every single year, and he has added things to his game now that it's really stunning to see his development from year to year. I mean, he's full-blown taking guys off the dribble now and collapsing defenses at will on his own. He has the vision to make passes out of that, as among also being a lethal three-point shooter and one of the better finishers at the rim, and a guy who's also adding, you know, a mid-range pull-up jump shot to his game as well to keep defenses even more honest. And then when you add in the fact that he is just such a dog on ball defensively, and the fact that he can play within a team construct defensively so well, I mean, his weak side defense is phenomenal at this point in his career. I mean, it's, you have to put Gary Harris somewhere in the top 5 to 6 shooting guards in the NBA. Jamal Murray has a little bit of a ways to go still, in my opinion. But the raw talent is just so immense with him as a shooter and as a scorer. Like, he's very underrated athletically. He can actually go up and hammer on guys. It's starting to be shown now in highlights and things like that. He obviously is just a ridiculous shooter. It hasn't quite clicked yet this year, but everybody in Denver has been slow shooting to start the season for some reason this year from three. But he's a lights-out three-point shooter when he's on. And on top of that, he's learning how to become a point guard. He's not there yet. He still has trouble getting the ball back to Jokic on the switch. He has trouble dealing with on-ball pressure from guys like Patrick Beverley. Like, Alonzo ate him for lunch on defense at one point when they were playing the Lakers. There's a lot of those things he needs to figure out. But as a raw talent point guard to put around Nikola Jokic that can score like that and drive like that, that tandem alongside Nikola Jokic makes for a very terrifying group down the line.
I saw a lot of Murray at Kentucky, and he was off the ball. He was a guard. He was dynamic, and it's just a matter of time. You know, he's still, I think, maybe 21 years old, third year in the NBA, but you can see him developing and evolving, and those three are going to be fun to watch for years to come.
Yeah, and there's a reason that Jamal Murray has become the popular pick for most improved player. Like, he has that kind of skill set to blow up this year. And he hasn't shown it yet, but everyone's missing their three-pointers again, like I was saying. Once those three start to fall, it's going to be pretty incredible to see how many points this Nuggets team can put up, as well as seeing basically if they were going to be able to keep up this defensive pressure as well.
I read where I think there's 8 or 9 players that average 20 minutes a game, and, you know, it's a different player, a group of players coming off the bench, you know, leading them against the second unit. Who have been some of the key players on the bench?
Trey Lyles has probably been the big one. Trey Lyles can really score in so many different ways at this point that he forces the defense to stretch out for the reserves, because you have to worry about his three-point threat, which, again, has not started falling. But at the same time, he has such a good post game. He's able to take guys off the dribble and attack in that fashion as well, that he's become a multi-tool weapon for that bench. But I think the most important player for the entire bench unit so far has been Monte Morris, actually. He's the backup point guard who was scheduled to be the third point guard because Isaiah Thomas, but Isaiah Thomas has been hurt, so Monte has had to pick up the slack. This is a guy who owns the all-time record in the NCAA for assist to turnover ratio. He makes phenomenal decisions, and it's continued this year where he's averaging like 6.5 assists to one turnover this year. And he's just kept everything working in such a great fashion so far that it's really been able to open up everything else for the rest of the bench unit because they're finally being put in good situations. For so long, it was Emmanuel Mudiay or Devin Harris or Randy Foy as a backup point guard on this team, and they really struggled to create other good looks for the bench unit because they didn't have that floor general point guard. They finally have that Monte Morris, and they'll have that in Isaiah Thomas when he comes back, and that's been a big part of it as well.
Will Barton has gone down, and they slid Torrey Craig into the starting lineup, and I forgot that Will Barton was hurt because of all the success that the Nuggets have had this year. What's Will Barton's timeline for returning?
So they were saying about 8 weeks from the time of injury, which puts us at about, you know, I think it's still 6.5 weeks away. I'm guessing around Christmas is when he'll be returning. That's right around the time area you could be looking at. When he went down, it looked like it could have been much, much longer. He couldn't put any pressure on it or anything. But to see that it's just an adductor injury is probably the best case scenario. So it's actually a bullet dodged. But you can expect him probably back right around that time of year, at Christmas time, maybe in the new year if they want to push it, just to be careful if they're already playing well.
And another player I read about was Malik Beasley. He's been playing well. I mean, are there any thoughts of substituting him into the starting lineup, replacing Torrey Craig, or does Mike Malone like Malik coming off the bench?
Michael Malone has not made any indications whatsoever that he's going to change the starting lineup. There's reasons that he could. Like, it's easy to create an argument that maybe you could add in a guy like even Juancho Hernan Gomez. If I was going to trade out Torrey Craig for anybody in the starting lineup, it would actually probably be Juancho, even though Malik has been great this year. But we'll see if Michael Malone feels that way. He's really liked sticking with Torrey. Malik's been huge, though. Malik's confidence level this season compared to the past three is pretty incredible. He was struggling for the start of his career. I mean, he's coming into his fourth season now, I believe, and he needs to start showing that he's able to be that guy. So he has been able to step into a role. He's no longer overcorrecting and overpressing himself. So he's done a great job of being that 3-and-D guy who attacks his closeouts on occasion. And he's bought in defensively. He's been great on defense, and it's shown so far in his game. And that's why Michael Malone has rewarded for him with fourth quarter minutes and closing minutes in close games so far this year. So he's been very, very solid, and it's important to see that with Will Barton out because the Nuggets lack a lot of wing depth when they do lose Will Barton like that. So for Will Barton to step into that role is huge. But again, like I was saying before, Juancho Hernan Gomez has also been great. He probably has the best-looking three-point jump shot on the Nuggets roster. Like, he has a stunning stroke from three-point distance, and he's shooting, like, 45.5% this year already, and he shot 40% his rookie year. Last year, he struggled because he had a bout of mono that really kind of forced him to lose a lot of strength and was never really fully in game shape and lost a spot in the rotation. But now that he's playing consistent minutes, man, he's looked really, really good. And the spacing he provides, it's helpful no matter where you plug him in the lineup. And I think to help this Nuggets starting unit get off to a better start, it'd be good to put him into the starting lineup. But we'll see if Michael Malone agrees with me.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lights-out shooter. He extends the D, and he's been playing well as well. We mentioned Will Barton is hurt, and, you know, you'd mentioned Isaiah Thomas. And then there's the guy that everyone's talking about as the steal of the draft in Michael Porter Jr. Can you give us an update on his progress and his health?
The update is that there is no update. There's been absolutely – they're just waiting and waiting and waiting. They're going to give him as much rest as possible. I am completely of the mind on a speculatory level that he's just not going to play this year. I would be surprised if he played at all this season because by the time even if he is healthy enough to return, the Nuggets are going to be in a playoff push with a full rotation already. They already have too many guys and not enough rotation spots for the amount of talent they have on the roster. So at this point, I mean, take your redshirt year. Get 100% healthy. Get a little bit stronger. Fall in love with the weight room. Do all of those things and allow yourself to slowly wade into the NBA pool because the Nuggets, frankly, just don't need him right now.
They have the bench depth, and then they have two other, you know, stars that are out too. So it's going to be hard for him to crack the rotation and get any significant minutes.
Yeah, and it'd be nice if he did, but at this point, he's a cherry on top. Like, if he does get healthy and he does pan out and becomes the kind of 25-point-per-game effortless scorer that he could be, he turns the Nuggets into a contender pretty much instantly. But if he doesn't pan out and he can never get healthy, it's really no loss at that point, because the amount of players that are actually rotation players or even star players that get picked at the 14th pick is pretty much zero the past, like, 8-9 years. So at that point, it's just a, you know, that's a free swing. You might as well take it and see what you can get.
Yeah, you might as well swing for the fences, and they definitely did, and I think the payoff will come out down the road. So two more questions, and then I'll let you get out of here. What has to go right for the Denver Nuggets to make the playoffs and advance and get to the at least the second round?
Oh, man. I think that they should make the playoffs regardless. I mean, as long as this effort keeps up, they don't have to be a top five defense to do this. But if their effort stays where it's at, they should make the playoffs pretty handedly, considering how good their offense is. They could be looking at a home court advantage kind of seating. But when it comes to the playoff series, I mean, people have to remember, Gary Harris is 24, has never been to the playoffs. Nikola Jokic is 23, has never been to the playoffs. Jamal Murray is 21, has never been to the playoffs. Like, these guys are very, very, very young and have no experience in that realm. So I do think while they could make life very difficult for whatever team they play in the playoffs, at this point, I'm not expecting them to win a series regardless of how high their seed is, because that's just a different realm. It's a very, very different battleground. But if they do win a series, man, this team's trajectory upwards is as high as it gets.
I guess I didn't realize how young they were.
The youngest roster in all of basketball. That's what's so crazy about all of this.
That's scary for the rest of the league.
Yes, it is.
All right, so last question, I'll let you get out of here. So I think I also read that you're a hip-hop enthusiast. Is that correct?
Yes, that is absolutely correct.
All right, so here's the question. Tupac or Biggie?
I always say Nas instead.
Oh.
Nas at the top, and I will take the answer you did not allow me to take. But no, I will always go with Nas over both of them.
Did you see his documentary, Illmatic?
Oh, yes, of course. I've seen it a few times at this point.
Oh, it's so good. I can't argue that.
Yeah, man, it is what it is at that point. That man's the king.
Yeah, he's great. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, talking hoops, talking California, talking hip-hop. We really appreciated it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Have a great rest of your day.